This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We got a lot to get into in today's show. I don't know if you saw this or not, but yesterday, I guess 2 days ago now, Colin Cowherd was very mad at the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys for wearing his visor backwards.
You know, I don't like backward hats. What's worse is a backward visor. That's a two-win team. I'm taking away four wins. So when you sit in front of a podium, you're representing the Cowboys, you're representing Bank of America, you're representing a $12 billion corporation.
So this was a couple of days ago. Cowherd was very mad at Brian Schottenheimer for wearing a backward visor. And when Brian Schottenheimer started his press conference, he had a backward visor on, and then he turned it around and said, "My bad, Colin." So a little bit of back and forth. The Cowboys are still entertaining as always. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. But I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the AFC. I think there is, I guess, two major questions about the AFC. There is a big three between Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. I think most people would agree that this is the case. Both of the questions are related to the big three. Question number one is it finally time for Buffalo or Baltimore? The Chiefs have dominated this conference. I mean, they've been to five of the last six Super Bowls coming out of the AFC. Buffalo hasn't been to one. Baltimore hasn't been to one. And the one Kansas City didn't go to, it was a feeling that Cincinnati had kind of skipped the line, so to speak, and they were the team that got to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. So is it finally the year for Baltimore or Buffalo? I think one of the beautiful things about this season is all three of those teams in the AFC play each other and play each other pretty early on in the season. I mean, Buffalo and Baltimore play each other the first game of the season. Baltimore and Kansas City play each other the fourth game of the season. The Chiefs play the Bills in week 9. So we get a chance in the first half of the season to see all three of the big dog teams in the AFC go up against each other. I think Buffalo's schedule is kind of built for them to be the one seed in the AFC playoffs this year. You have both Baltimore and Kansas City at home. You play in a slightly weaker division than the other two teams do as well. Buffalo needs to be a 13-14 win team and needs to be the team that hosts potentially the AFC championship game. So I think it's question number one in the AFC is, will either one of those two teams be able to finally get over the hump with Kansas City? We'll obviously see as the season progresses if that ends up happening. I think the other question in the AFC is there going to be any team that could potentially crash the party the way that Cincinnati did with those other teams? Now, I think it's about who could that possibly be? Do you think it could be Pittsburgh? Is it Cincinnati? Is Houston one of those teams? Is Jacksonville one of those teams? It pains me to say this, and I know how some of you are going to react and respond to this. I think that Denver is the most likely team to be able to jump up in that mix. I think Denver could have the best defense in the AFC this year. I think Denver played Kansas City as close and as tough as any team did last season, and I thought really matched up well against Kansas City. Now, I'm not counting the game at the end of the season where the Chiefs just didn't try and wave the white flag. But in the regular season, the Broncos played Kansas City pretty tough. Look like they were able to stand in the middle of the ring. Now, ultimately, they lost, so what does it matter? But I thought they stood pretty tough. I thought they got good quarterback play last year. I like their offseason. I think if there is a team that could potentially emerge out of the others, because you got the Chiefs, they are on their own island. I think that Baltimore and Buffalo, they are also positioned on their own island. And then way over the other side, way on the other side, you got a group of about five or six teams, and they are trying to figure out a way to get into that Baltimore-Buffalo conversation. I think the best of all those possible teams is probably the Broncos. Really good coach, potentially good quarterback, really strong defense, emerging skill position players. I think the Broncos probably have the best chance of elevation more than any of the other teams in the AFC.
I think Denver is the absolute no doubt answer. Like, we haven't done our NFL season predictions yet. We will do them at some point before the NFL season starts. And I think I'm going to be much higher on Denver than you, just the way you've talked about Denver.
You probably will be.
But in a second way to irk Chiefs fans, is the answer to this question the team that's already done it? Is it the Bengals? Because I know they have been filled with offseason drama. It's basically a tale as old as time. They fail to pay a player, there's drama, there's beef, in the 11th hour they get it done, and then they lose the first couple games of the season. It's basically what happens every year with Cincinnati. But if they can get Trey Hendrickson figured out, they finally have their first-round pick, they have what, statistically what was the best quarterback in the NFL last year, they probably have the best wide receiver. Like, their defense, I'm not saying it's going to be good, but it's impossible to imagine it's worse. They have a new defensive coordinator. Maybe that doesn't make them the third best in the NFL, but I don't think they're going to be 32 again. And if you got Burrow and Chase, you got a shot most days. Is the team that can crash the party the team that has already crashed the party, or do they not count because they've done this? Because it feels like Cincinnati might be the answer.
I mean, I think they definitely count. I don't know if I saw Cincinnati make enough changes this offseason with the defense to make me think that they deserve to be in this conversation. I mean, we talk about Kansas City. They could maybe have the best defense in the AFC, certainly in the conversation. Denver, in that conversation. Buffalo, very capable defense. The Cincinnati defense, I think, is noticeably behind that team. I think you also mentioned some of the other teams that are in contention that you would say. Pittsburgh's defense, better than Cincinnati's. The Chargers' defense, better than them. The Broncos, we've been talking about, better defense than them. I don't know if you crash the party with the eighth or ninth best defense. And you mentioned that you don't know if it could get much worse for the defense. I would argue, I don't know if their offense can be much better than it was last year. If you look at kind of how the season broke down for Cincinnati, I mean, Burrow was phenomenal last season. Burrow threw 652 times last year. So Burrow stayed healthy. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase had one of the best wide receiver seasons that we've seen. T. Higgins was still really good last year. They got a running back to kind of emerge that we weren't really talking about in Chase Brown. Like, I would say their team also on offense kind of peaked and did as much as you could. Now, I think Cincinnati's certainly going to be in a mix. That could be a possible playoff team. They probably just kind of ran out of time last year before having a chance to make the postseason. But if you're asking me which team do I think is more likely to crash the party, I would pick the Broncos over the Bengals for the reason I just gave. I just don't trust Cincinnati on defense. I also don't know if they've done enough up front to be able to block and protect Burrow. It just feels like we'll be having the same conversations about them that we always have come November and December.
I think we found the two teams, though. And maybe it will look foolish, and I'll say this, and then 6 months from now I'll look like an idiot because the NFL always happens. I feel like that's the grouping, though. If it's not the obvious three, Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, and maybe a sneaky contender like Cincinnati or Denver, I really do not see a path for another team to be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I just don't. I know Colin Cowherd and Jason McIntyre like the Chargers. I would be fall out of my chair stunned if them or the Steelers or anyone in the AFC South became a Super Bowl type of team. Like, maybe this is a duh type of comment, but if it's not one of those five, and I think it's really just four, I don't think the other 12 teams in the AFC stand much of a chance to get to wherever the Super Bowl is this year. San Francisco, Santa Clara, wherever. I don't see any other team as a real Super Bowl threat in the league.
Yeah, the text line's kind of giving me a little bit about the Broncos, and that's perfectly fine. I'm looking at what Bo Nix did last season, and we talk about like sort of a expectation of progression for a quarterback. I mean, last year, Bo Nix was really good. Bo Nix completed 66% of his passes. He threw for 3,700 yards, had 29 touchdown passes and 12 interceptions last year. Now, I think what Denver is going to have to kind of combat this season is kind of like my argument with the Washington Commanders. A, they're not going to sneak up on you the way that they have in years past. I also think the schedule is going to be much more difficult for Denver this year than it was last year. And how do you kind of combat that and how do you deal with it if you are the Denver Broncos? I'm just simply looking, like, if we had to ask the question right now of who do you think is the fourth best team in the AFC, who's the team that's best positioned outside of those top three, I think there's three or four teams that are just in the mix. I mean, I think the overwhelming likelihood of the AFC is that it's going to be one of those three teams, and we'll see how the season progresses. I mean, most of the time it's been Kansas City, but it's going to be Kansas City, Baltimore, or Buffalo. Does any of those teams become the, 2021 Cincinnati Bengals? Can they have that Joe Burrow kind of season that they end up surprising some people and end up making the Super Bowl? I do think the Broncos have a chance potentially of being that team. We'll keep talking NFL coming up on the other side. We'll go through some of the quick hitters and news and notes for the day. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
And gone, Bobby Witt.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I don't want to be in a position where I'm the team defending the Broncos because that's honestly Rob's team. Rob likes this Broncos team a little more than I like the Broncos. We were just talking about, and we'll get to Lewis Riddick coming up momentarily. We were talking about if there is another team to emerge out of the big three, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, who could that potentially be? And I think the Broncos are kind of set up that they could maybe be that team. Someone on the text line asked the question, who do they have as their pass catchers outside of Courtland Sutton? They also added Evan Engram to play tight end. I think they probably feel good about their two young guys. I mean, last year the Broncos had a seventh round pick, Devon Vele. He had 475 yards last year and a handful of touchdowns. That's a pretty good year for a guy who was a seventh round rookie last year to have 41 catches, 475 yards, and three touchdowns, and only played in 13 games last year. I think the expectation is that he can take a step forward. Now, we'll see if he actually takes a step forward. Troy Franklin was a guy that he played with Bo Nix. They had a relationship. He had 300 yards last year receiving. He was also a rookie. I really like what the Broncos did at running back. J.K. Dobbins is a 1,000-yard back, even if he's injury-prone. And R.J. Harvey, Rob, that's a guy that you and I both wanted Kansas City to take a look at. You and I both were kind of banging the drum, and I was surprised that you were on board with the Chiefs picking up a running back in one of those mid to later rounds. R.J. Harvey was a guy that I was kind of looking at as being that third, fourth round pick for the Kansas City Chiefs to kind of strengthen that room. Obviously ended up going in a different direction. I do understand how someone could be high on the Broncos last year. Like, the Broncos have a lot of the things that I think you would want and need if you think a team could take the next step. Good quarterback play, solid run game, some young emerging weapons in the pass game, a top 10 offensive line, and a really capable defense. Like, the Broncos have the core and a foundation of being a team that could win double-digit games and be dangerous this season.
I mean, what you're describing is why I'm a person that is higher on the Broncos than most in Kansas City. I think they have a lot of the ingredients to be that step forward type of team. Like, I will be the first to admit, first team, I was wrong on Bo Nix. I got a lot of jokes off about his age. I thought, hey, if you played college football in 2017, I don't know how good you're going to be in 2024. He was a good quarterback for them last year, and the Broncos do what smart teams do. They say, okay, we found our quarterback. Let's build around him. Their weapons aren't flashy names, but they have solid weapons. They also have a coach who is offensive-minded and has won a Super Bowl. They also have, you talk about the Chiefs maybe having the best defense in the AFC. If it's not the Chiefs, the Broncos might have the best defense in the AFC. And they are a team last year when they were probably outmanned and outgunned, were a one play away from beating the Chiefs in their one real matchup. Like, that's a team that could be dangerous in 2025, and Evan Engram's a really nice addition. Like, I feel like we're sleeping on what Evan Engram is as a player. He's a good tight end in the league. Is he as good as, you know, Brock Bowers? No, but he is still a quality player. Like, they feel like a team that can make that 9-8 step to, like, 11-6, 12-5 type of energy.
I think the question now for the Broncos is just going to be very simple. I mean, the Broncos were 9-5 last year. They were kind of gaining some momentum. People thought that the Broncos could be a decent team. They went on the road and got a good win against Tampa Bay. They kind of got a lucky break when it comes to the schedule and the teams that they beat. Like, they didn't beat a lot of heavy hitting teams last year as well. They had a really important stretch. They played the Chargers on the road and they played Cincinnati on the road. Two possible playoff teams. Cincinnati was the eighth team in the AFC, and the Chargers ended up making it. The Broncos lost both of those games and really got in because they had Kansas City at the end of the season when Kansas City had waved the white flag and had been done for a year. Can the Broncos potentially win those games this season? They're going to have a on the road against a Cincinnati, a on the road against a Chargers type team. Are they going to be able to win that game? We'll obviously find out this season if that ends up being the case. Let's run through some of the news and notes with Lewis Riddick. I always appreciate his commentary on things. Here he is talking about the top story in the NFL. Micah Parsons still hasn't signed a new contract. The Cowboys, it is always drama with them. Here's Lewis Riddick talking about Jerry Jones.
Micah knows he's going to get paid regardless, right? But see, I'm looking at this really from Jerry's standpoint. Yeah, he may say, look, I did this kind of thing with Emmett. We still won Super Bowls. Because you know what? You had Troy and you had Michael and you had Eric Williams. You had an all-time team.
Yeah.
They don't have an all-time team right now. Right. So, but he's the one who says all the time, I'm all in, right? My clock is ticking. I need to win another championship. Well, this isn't the blueprint for it. And you don't have Troy Aikman over here. And you don't have Michael Irvin. You don't have Deion Sanders. You don't have that team anymore. But you're conducting business like it's back in 1993 again.
There are some teams that are always living in the past of what they used to be. Nebraska is kind of one of those teams that just lives in the past of when they were really, really good. And, man, when they were good, they were phenomenal. It's not 1995 anymore. It's 2025, and you're a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team. Whoop-de-doo. The Cowboys are kind of that way. I do think this is a problem with Jerry Jones. I do think he conducts business this way. Like, if you at least listen to the Michael Parsons account of kind of how the negotiations worked, and then you hear Jerry say, well, that's how I agreed to a deal with Deion Sanders. Well, the whole power structure has changed. Agents are famous now, like legitimately famous and have real power now, where maybe they didn't in a pre-social media era. Like, people know who these agents are. They have a prominent voice, so you kind of got to treat them with respect. And when Micah Parsons tells you, hey, I don't want to negotiate my deal, I need you to go through my agent, if you're not willing to respect that and conduct business in that way in 2025, it's going to lead to some issues, kind of like the issues that the Cowboys are having right now. Now, ultimately, I think they get this done. I know Jerry's coming out and saying, well, we're not sure if he's going to be here in uniform. Jerry, stop it. It's all a show. I've told you guys to block out the noise. None of it matters when it comes to the Cowboys, and none of it matters when it comes to Micah Parsons, because deadlines make deals, and we have seen the Cowboys almost always get this deal done, and all sides will be on the same page when Jerry writes a big check to make Micah Parsons the highest-paid defensive player in the National Football League. We are a couple weeks away, but the Cowboys, you know, they got to keep the content wheel churning, and boy, are they going to keep it churning. So that is the Micah Parsons portion of this. Let's get to the next portion of this. Lewis Riddick thinks Ashton Jeanty is going to be the rookie of the year.
Fill it in. Lewis Riddick. Fill in the blank. Who will win offensive rookie of the year?
I think this is a slam dunk for Ashton Jeanty. The dude is just an absolute playmaking machine. Now, I know that the level of competition is going to be much different for him, but just think about some of the things he did last year. This guy had 5 TDs of 70-plus yards, 10 of 50-plus, 29 TDs. The average distance was 28 yards. So he is a home run hitter. And those stats, all courtesy of our boy Hembo. But I'll tell you this. Look, this guy is going to rip it up this year. And people are going to say, look, don't talk to me about running backs not being worth being drafted in the top 10.
I'm telling you right now, my favorite over-under on the board is the Raiders at 6.5. They have made noticeable improvements at the most important things on the field. Noticeable. They have a drastic improvement at head coach. That matters. They have a drastic improvement at running back and just overall skill position player and home run. Do you know last year what their leading rusher got? Just take a guess. Just as an exercise. I mean, last year, their leading passer was Gardner Minshew. I think we all assume that Geno Smith is going to be a much better quarterback than Gardner Minshew is. What do you think the leading rusher was last year for the Las Vegas Raiders? How many yards do you think he got?
Well, honestly, I'm sitting back here racking my brain. I don't even know who the human being was.
It was Alexander Mattson.
Okay, so not great for a stat. I'm going to say he's under 500 at 485.
420 yards was the leading rusher last year for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, that's bad.
420 yards. And they had Amir Abdullah had 311 yards. That was their running game last year. Now, we might debate on how great we think that Ashton Jeanty is going to be, but I think Ashton Jeanty is going to get double the amount of yards rushing that Alexander Mattson got last year. So if you're telling me you go from a 400-yard rusher to an 800-900, maybe even more rusher, you make a significant upgrade at quarterback, going from Gardner Minshew to now going to Geno Smith, and you go from Antonio Pierce to now going to Pete Carroll, take me for the over-under on the Raiders at 6.5. I think the Raiders can win 8 or 9 games this year. I really do. There is not a team Maybe you would argue the Patriots. I know people are really high on the Patriots. There is not a team that they have improved their infrastructure more in a shorter period of time than where the Raiders are. I think the Raiders got a chance of being very competitive this year. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're surprising you in that way. But just being a team that you can't automatically write a W down the way that you've been able to for the last decade or so, I think the Raiders are going to be very feisty this year. I love their over under 6.5.
I was going to say, if you have, I mean, 8 wins and 9 wins is different, but I mean, last year, 9-8 was the 7th.
That's over, though. That's an over for me on my 6.5. That's over.
I was going to ask the follow-up question, though. You beat me to it, because if you think they can be an 8 or 9-win team, you think they're at least fighting for a playoff spot. They may come up short, but I think they're this year's version
of the Broncos. What Denver was last year, I think that's what the Raiders can be this year. I think they can be a team that's fighting at the end of the season for the 8-9 spot. I think they can be that team.
That's a lot of belief in Geno Smith. Like, a lot.
I think Geno's pretty good. I think the only reason we don't feel that way is because Geno played in Seattle. And just, you know how it is.
He was totally fine. I don't want to make it sound like he was bad. But, I mean, I don't think, like, for last year's 7 seed, it was Bo Nix. Do we think Geno Smith is better than Bo Nix?
No, I don't think he's that. But I guess, to me, the comparison would be is, I think he's, you know, we always have this vision of what Kirk Cousins should be. That's what I think Geno is. Like, I think they added Kirk Cousins. That Kirk Cousins just, well, he gave Minnesota. He didn't really do that last year with Atlanta. But I think Kirk Cousins gives you a floor of what you can expect a quarterback. So if you're telling me that the Raiders added a quarterback that I think is going to throw for 26 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions, that's not a team that wins 4 games, if that's the case. That's a team that's pretty competitive throughout the course of the season. That's what I think the Raiders would be. I think they'll be a pretty competitive team. I think that Jensen does have a chance to win Rookie of the Year. I mean, they'll probably give it to a quarterback. They kind of always do. And I think they just got a chance of just being a competitive, just a team you don't want to play. That's what I think they can be this season. Last thing I want to play from Lewis Riddick. Here he is talking about Shedeur Sanders, who is getting the start this weekend against the Carolina Panthers.
You can't have pre-snap penalties. You can't turn the football over. You can't play off schedule on a consistent basis where it looks like you don't know what you're looking at, and meaning that you haven't been locked in, even though you haven't gotten the reps that you need in order to play at a real high level. Because I'll tell you what, look, Bart knows this. We were talking about it off camera. I know this. When you are a guy who was maybe starting out number 3, number 4 in the depth chart, really, it's about this. Are you willing to do the work and do the preparation when you don't know when the payoff's going to come?
Right.
That's really the true definition of resilience.
When nobody's
watching. Okay, when no one thinks that you're going to do the work because you don't know when the payoff's going to come, are you still putting in the time? This kid is wired to put in the time. And now it's his time to shine, which means show him that you've been in the book. And number 2, I always said this to myself in preseason in the NFL. Give them 1 or 2 dramatic snaps where they sit there and go, in that staff meeting after the game, number 12's got to get more reps. Mm. Number 12's got to move up the depth chart. Because did you see that? The uncoached look, the unscouted look to where he makes the right play and makes the dramatic play. Because he's done it. He's done it in his career. He just needs to do it at this level now.
That was Lewis Riddick talking about Shedeur Sanders, who was getting the start for the Browns. So I saw the Browns make an announcement that they are only going to play 2 quarterbacks in their next preseason game. So you would assume that Shedeur is going to get a pretty extended look and a pretty extended opportunity to showcase what he can do and how he looks coming up this weekend against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, this was my message to Shedeur from the entire draft process. I mean, obviously, you want to be drafted as high as you can. You want to put yourself in that situation. You want to be as high up in the depth chart as it matters. But the beautiful thing about sports to me is eventually everybody has to prove it. It doesn't matter if you are the number 1 overall pick. It doesn't matter if you're the last pick in the draft. Eventually, you get the opportunity to showcase your talent, your ability, and the best, not all the time, but the best usually wins out. The Browns right now, they don't have a quarterback. Like, I always thought that Shedeur, it might have ended up being a roundabout way, but he at least got drafted to a team that gives you a clear opportunity to showcase your ability. That might not have been the case if you had been drafted by some other teams. Like, if you had been drafted in Pittsburgh, you for sure would have been the backup quarterback this year, and I still think they maybe draft over you. Maybe you get drafted by the Giants. That was a possibility, but we saw that they went in a different direction. I mean, you didn't get drafted by Kansas City. I mean, there's no hope in Kansas City of you being the starter. You're hoping for an injury to get a chance to get on the field. You don't got to hope for an injury to get on the field. If Shedeur plays really well this weekend and balls out, he's got a chance to be named the week 1 starter of the team. So it didn't matter where you got drafted. Hey, you went out there and you won the job and you competed.
So that's all that the focus needs to be for Shadur. We'll all find out. He was the most polarizing prospect last year in the NFL draft for a lot of different reasons. But now we're at the point, I'm really excited and curious to see if the guy can play or not. Let's see. It's been a lot of talking on both sides, whether you think he can or whether you think he can't. Hey, preseason football, it's time to go out and show and prove. It wasn't that long ago. I remember that the Seattle Seahawks spent a lot of money to go get Matt Flynn, and it was at Arrowhead. A lot of you were probably at that game. It was at Arrowhead. And remember, Russell Wilson went out there and played really well. And I think that if you were there at Arrowhead and you saw it, I think it was pretty clear. Hey, Russell Wilson's a starting quarterback in the National Football League. We obviously know how that story turned out. They named him the starter, and they ended up having great success with him at the helm in Seattle. I'm not saying that Shadur is Russell Wilson. I'm just saying is answer all of those questions on the field through your play, how you conduct yourself, and how you showcase, and then we'll see what happens. So To me, Shadur is the story of the weekend. Like, I want to see what he does. I want to see how he performs. I want to see if the kid can actually play or not at this level.
And this is where I'm going to sound like a skeptic. I agree with what Lewis Riddick said. You can't have bad penalties. You can't look like you weren't studying the playbook. You can't have dumb turnovers. You can't be a laughing stock if you're Shadur Sanders, because then I think your opportunity is squandered. I don't know he can win the job this weekend, though. Like, I don't know he can. I think he can lose it. Like, we talk all the time about with the Royals, the cross-sport compare. You can't make the playoffs in April, but you can fail to make the playoffs in April. That's how I feel about Shadur in the preseason. I don't think you're winning the job this weekend. I don't think you're going to do anything where Kevin Stefanski is going to come out and say, guys, we found our quarterback. No more Gabriel. No more Pickett. No more Joe Flacco. No more competition. We found the guy. That's not happening no matter how he plays. But I think if on Monday he's the laughing stock of the league, he can lose the job. So I think this weekend what he needs to do is exactly what Lewis Riddick said in the cut. Stay in the fight. Don't be bad. Don't be historic bad. Don't be a laughing stock. And you are still in a quarterback competition. But I don't know he can win the job this weekend. The same way Russell Wilson, like for their Arrowhead comparison, he was so good he had already won the job. I don't know if Shadur can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the saying, I guess, you know, the best ability is availability. And right now, while I mean, I think their plan is for Joe Flacco to be the starting quarterback. I think that's the plan for them this year. Or maybe it's not you potentially winning the job right now, but I think most people, certainly I assume this, I can't speak for everybody, I guess, I think they're changing quarterbacks at some point this season. I want to be at the top of the mind of when that change happens. Does anybody think that Joe Flacco's making 17 starts this season? Because this is how I guess things go. I'm guessing that the Browns are the Browns, and I'm guessing that Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco, and he throws a lot of interceptions and makes a lot of mistakes because that's what he's done these last handful of years. So the Browns are 2-6. They're 2-7. It's time for them to get a spark on offense, and they're probably going to one of the young guys. Hey, the guy who played really well in preseason and showcased it against the ones, he's not a bad suggestion of who can potentially go out there, so I'm with you. You can definitely hurt yourself if you're Shadur and you go out there and you play poorly. And the noise is going to be really loud if you play poorly. See, we told you, he's not good. You guys should have never drafted him. I mean, there's pressure going into this. But man, if he goes out there and plays well and looks like he can handle the moment and looks like he can kind of move some thing for that offense, I don't know how it doesn't make you kind of question things if, I mean, you're not going anywhere if Joe Flacco is your starting quarterback. Like, you got to know this if you are the Browns. And I also think that some of the fan noise is going to get loud if one of the young. Same thing if Gabriel had made the start. If Gabriel was making the start this weekend and he went out there and was balling out, there would be a loud contingency of Browns fans, and rightly so. Hey, why are we starting the 39-year-old quarterback who we don't think is going to be here next year over one of the young quarterbacks that we just got drafted? I think that's what Shadur is up against this weekend.
I think your point about the Browns starting multiple quarterbacks this year is correct. I don't think that number is 2. I think that number is 3+. I think Pickett definitely gets starts. I think Joe Flacco likely gets starts. And then it becomes, is it Gabriel or Shadur? And by the way, I think the Browns are doing this without announcing they're doing this. The Browns are going to play 3-4 quarterbacks this year in the hopes of getting Garrett Nussmeier, in hopes of getting Arch Manning. And they are in the Lenora Sellers conversation. So maybe for Shadur, and he can't think this way, he's got to think, oh, if I show out here, maybe I can get an opportunity to get traded to another team next year. Because I think the Browns, by having a battle of a late-round quarterback, a third-round quarterback, a 47-year-old quarterback, and an already-failed-twice quarterback, are announcing a white flag without announcing a white flag. So I think he's playing for next year, this preseason, as much as he is this season.
Text line 913-586-7965. We're going through some NFL news and notes. We'll get back to the NFL here coming up in a bit. We'll also talk about the Royals coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Rob, did you see the news that Hulu and Disney Plus, they are going to merge into one app? So they're not going to have a separate app for Hulu and Disney Plus. They are going to come together, and there's only going to be one app. I think we're actually going to start seeing a lot more of this coming up in the future. I really do. I think we're going to start to see a lot of these apps merge, especially now if you are Peacock and you just lost the WWE. So, I mean, that was a big driving point for them, is you had all of the pay-per-views. So if you wanted to watch WrestleMania, if you wanted to watch the Royal Rumble, like, I know some of you laugh at wrestling. We can't deny that wrestling is really, really popular and people watch wrestling on television. Outside of the English Premier League, do you have anything else if you're Peacock?
Big Ten football.
It's a good point.
They got the Big Ten.
That's a good point.
The NFL. Like, I know it's on NBC traditional television, but if you are a streamer only, like, let's say you are someone that we and you both have YouTube TV. If you are not a YouTube TV person and you want to watch the NFL, Peacock's your place. I think now what we're seeing with this ESPN news today, and I think this kind of folds in with the Hulu thing, I think the streamer is going to be fighting for who's second. Because it's going to go, I think ESPN, Disney Plus, that bundle.
Isn't our answer Hulu?
I mean, unless you count that as part of the Disney Plus sphere, the ecosystem that is Disney Plus, because as it works right now, and maybe this is changing, if you have Disney Plus, you have ESPN. Like, it's all under one umbrella. So if Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN are all joined at the hip, who rises to number two? What content pushes you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing then in that context, if we're saying Netflix is the number one, and I'm assuming that they are just based on subscribers, I mean, I would probably have to say Prime Video. You have to throw them in that conversation. They have a massive deal with the NFL. They have just made a massive deal with the NBA. I think they're going to be heavy in the conversation with baseball as baseball is trying to figure out its contract issues. And we know Amazon's got all the money in the world to be able to throw out there and throw around. So I think that's kind of the answer. I think this is actually in the best interest of all of us, is that Hulu and Disney just merge into one app. Why do you need both of these apps? Can't their content overlap? It seems like that's what they're going to do. I'm very interested to see what happens with Peacock, because I feel like one of their big pushes was the WWE. And we're also looking at the UFC contracts are now coming up. Are they going to Netflix? I mean, WWF has a deal with Netflix. Are they going to stay with ESPN? I think now the next question is, what's going to happen with UFC, and what are they going to do with all of their big pay-per-views and all their big events? Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to baseball. Let's keep talking football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I say this. This just seems like a observation to me. If your quarterback is getting an epidural, something ain't right. Matthew Stafford is dealing with an aggravated disc, and he has to receive an epidural to help him deal with it. Now, he has been called week to week, and that's cautious. But the plans are for him to be ready for week one. Now, I really like the Rams and think the Rams have a chance to be one of the better teams in the NFC. I don't feel great about it that Matthew Stafford is having serious back issues and is now having to deal with it. I don't feel great about it. I think the Rams are my, like, how you kind of feel about the Broncos, that's kind of how I feel about the Rams. But, I mean, one team's quarterback is 25 and the other team's quarterback is 36. So a drastic difference, I guess, when it comes to that with those two positions. But I just wanted to notify you guys that Matthew Stafford, he is having some back issues as they are starting to begin the season. There was a really good question today on Arrowhead Pride, and I'm curious to get you guys' thoughts on it. 913-586-7965. The question was, do you think the Chiefs will have a 1,000-yard receiver this year? I'm going to guess no on this. I would guess yes if you're telling me that Rashee Rice doesn't get suspended. But if Rashee is going to miss 3 to 5 games somewhere in that range, then I think the answer is no. I actually think there's only one other possible person to even be in that conversation. And yes, I'm including Travis Kelce in this discussion. The only other person that I think could even be close to being in this conversation would be Xavier Worthy. And that would be a big jump from where he was last year. I mean, last year, Xavier Worthy had 638 yards. So we're talking about a 400-yard difference. We're also talking about how, in theory, we are expecting other people to be able to eat off the plate. Hollywood gets a little bit. Rashee Rice plays far more games, gets more snaps, more targets, more opportunities than he had last season. I don't think they'll end up having a 1,000-yard receiver. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it could just be more spaced out this year. Worthy takes a jump from 630 to 8, maybe 825. Hollywood's a bigger factor in the offense than you had anticipate. They maybe take a little bit of a workload away from Travis Kelce and give more to Noah Gray. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I don't know if I could pencil anybody in the Chiefs offense to get 1,000 yards not receiving. I'm not even sure if I would give Isaiah Pacheco 1,000 yards rushing just because Isaiah Pacheco just hasn't really shown the ability to stay healthy. I'm not sure if they have that guy in their offense this year, at least not if Rice is going to be suspended from week one.
So let me ask you a follow-up question, because I actually agree with you, and I think it's dependent on Rice's suspension. I think if Rice was playing in every game this season, and you can never predict health, but if he was playing in every game, I think Rashee Rice is a 1,000-yard type wide receiver. Like, I think if he was playing, if he was not going to get suspended, you could pencil him in right now for 1,000 yards. The 1 year he played, he was basically a 1,000-yard guy. I know he came up short, but he was a 1,000-yard guy in his 1 year, and he was trending toward having a really good season last year before his knee just exploded because he got tackled, like, in a very freak play. So I think his suspension makes the answer no. But if you and I both have them as no for 1,000-yard receiver, is the offense going to be more explosive? Like, it can't be both. We can't say, oh, they're going to be more explosive, they're going to be more dynamic, all these things, and then turn around and be like, but they're going to have no 1,000-yard guys. Like, look at 2022. They had an all-time season from Travis Kelce. He had 1,300-plus yards. He was a freak. They had a dynamic offense. They then got 900 more from Juju Smith-Schuster. If we don't think they're going to have any 1,000-yard guys, are they even going to get that back to that level of dynamicism? And if they're not, can we stop saying, like, I don't think it can be both.
Yeah, this is where I think that we're just really fixated on a round number, and I certainly get it, right? Like, it all makes sense. So last year, the Chiefs only had two guys that had over 500 yards receiving. What if this year they end up having four guys that had over 600 yards receiving? Like, I think that's a realistic possibility. So let's say that Rashee Rice plays in, let's give him 12 games, a nice round number. I think Rashee Rice has 800 to 900 yards possibly receiving in those games. Let's say that Hollywood stays healthy this year and gets you 650 yards. Let's say Xavier Worthy gives you 800 yards. Like, I certainly understand what you're saying, that they're not going to have that big number one, that guy that gets you the 1,100 yards. But I just think they're going to have more guys that are capable. So this was their top five last year. Kelce had 823 yards. Xavier Worthy had 638. Noah Gray had 437. DeAndre Hopkins had 437. Then Samaje Perine at 322. I think if we go through the numbers of what we project the top five to be, I think the top five is just going to be a lot stronger, and there's just going to be more strength at the top than there was last year. I mean, for your number one wide receiver last year to have 638 yards, and your number two, not pass catcher, your number two wide receiver to show up in the middle of the season and basically be a part-time player for most of the regular season, for him to have 400 yards, I just think they're better equipped to have more guys that do more. So I guess in a basketball sense, I don't know if they're going to have the one guy that averages 30. I think they're going to have three or four guys that average 18 or 19 this year, where they just didn't have that last season.
I agree. That sounds great on paper. Has that ever happened under Andy Reid? Has there been a year with the Chiefs? And the closest answer is last year. But I would think last year is a little bit different too, because no one would confuse last year's offense for elite. Usually there's a guy. And they have, you know, for your basketball analogy, they have a guy who averages 15, 16, 17, but they also have a guy who can go get 30. They're the LeBron Cavs. They have LeBron who can go get 30. They also have Kyrie, who's usually really good. Look at the best years in this offense. It was Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Okay, push them to the side. That's two Hall of Famers. We don't know there's multiple Hall of Famers on this roster right now. But 2022 is the year I continue to point to. They won the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes was the MVP, threw for 40-plus touchdowns. They had an all-time year from Travis Kelce as that A-type of dog, and they had a B player. Has there been a year in Andy Reid, at least in Kansas City, where it's, we're going to have six guys who get 18 points for your basketball analogy? Not really. There tends to be that one go-get-it type of player, and someone will emerge as that with the Chiefs offense. You just figure it will.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just don't know if this team is kind of positioned that way, and I think they are positioned that way maybe in week 7 and week 8. I don't know if they're positioned that way from the very, very beginning of the season. I mean, some of this, the questions have just been answered because Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill have kind of always been that guy. Now that they don't, I think they are kind of looking for that individual. And again, I think they have that person on their team. I think Rashee Rice is the guy that can have 1,100 yards. I just don't know if you get 1,100 yards if you get suspended for the first five games of the season. I just don't think that's how your season progresses. So I do think they have the guy on 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7. I think we know where the ball is going to go. I'm just sure, like, in terms of total yards. Like, I'm looking. I went back to 2003 here, and I know we're up against it. Kelce had 984. Rice had 938. And then there was a big drop-off between Rashee Rice and Justin Watson, where Rice had 938, and then Watson had 460, like a 500-yard difference between the two. I think they're going to have more guys that are in the middle this year than they've ever kind of had before. I think they're going to have just more good receivers. Maybe not great, but if Hollywood is a productive player this year, I don't think he has 315 yards receiving. I think he gets 500, 560, where if you're telling me in this offense, this is maybe what Juju is or Jalen Royals is, where he gives you 200-something yards, I mean, that was good enough for you to be fifth on receiving when it came to the Chiefs. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. Let's keep this wide receiver conversation going. I also got a question to ask you about Jack Caglione. I'll explain. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.